Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast. We are pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance, revealing its role in a comprehensive financial strategy, helping you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
Hi, this is Jean Wen from Tax Exempt Millionaire Club.
Hello, and I'm Carlo Vaccaro with NetWell Finance.
We appreciate you guys joining us today. This is the first episode of this podcast. We're kicking it off, and we thought that to lead this out, we are going to introduce ourselves. We're going to tell you a little bit about our background, what we're investing in, assets that we own, so that basically you can decide, like, why should we listen to these people about finances? What are they bringing to the table? So to kick us off, Jing, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, definitely. Thanks for the opportunity. I call myself mompreneur. I am a real estate, full-time real estate investor. I do practice IBC, infinite banking concept. I cannot wait to share everything I know I practice with you.
All right, and Carlo.
Hello, I am Carlo Vaccaro, and I have done various things in my life. I spent almost 9 years in the Army infantry, and I transitioned into tech work after a short attempt at working on becoming a financial advisor. It was studying for the Series 7, Series 66. And instead, I transitioned to tech, but I've always been passionate about finance. I work in technology these days as a VP at a cybersecurity software firm. But I was introduced to the infinite banking concept through various YouTube channels, stumbled upon James's, and fell in love with the concept and really enjoy implementing these strategies in my own life and businesses.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. And I'm James Barber. I have been a business owner for most of my life. I owned a small pressure washing and window cleaning business for over a decade, transitioned from there into becoming a real estate agent, and from there into the life insurance space, where I do specialize in high cash value life insurance. And our focus has always been on educating people and doing a deep dive, getting into the numbers, and really trying to optimize as much as we can for our clients. So that's where I'm at currently. And Jing and Carlo, eventually they reached out to me and we kind of got together and we thought, you know what? I think it would be a good idea if we were able to share all together, because of the different backgrounds that we have and the different things that we've got going on. And I think it can provide some good value to you. So with that, since this is going to be about high cash value life insurance as kind of the main focus, and what we hope to bring you is information about high cash value life insurance and how it's used in various investments, let's tell them what we personally own. Jing, why don't you start us off? What do you own in the life insurance space currently?
Currently, I have an IUL I use as IBC policy, and that's the only IBC policy I have now. But I do plan to expand my IBC policies because I have three kids, and then I can also put the policy on my husband.
Excellent. I look forward to getting more information about that in the future. Carlo?
I have a whole life policy and an IUL policy on myself. I fund them at similar levels. I think that both have a place in my overall asset portfolio. I do intend to expand a bit more into policies on the rest of my family as well, but still have not tackled doing that.
All right. Well, those are great places to get started. I currently own 12 life insurance policies, cash value life insurance policies. Actually, make that 13. I always forget one that we bought over a decade ago that my wife purchased. It was not a specially designed high cash value policy. It's just your basic whole life policy, but it's very small, so we never got rid of it. Of the 12 that I currently own, we have a number of them are whole life, a number of them are IULs, and we are funding them quite heavily. We're going to be talking more about how we're using these and funding these a little bit later on. But for now, let's talk about some of the other investments that we're currently engaged in. Jing, why don't you lead us off again?
I do long-term investment. I have several rentals. In the meantime, I went into mobile home park investing, which is a very specialized niche. And I'm currently self-managing a portfolio of mobile home parks, mobile homes on land, as well as a couple of single families as a portfolio.
Excellent. Anything else in your investments?
Yes, I do plan to expand in mobile home park and affordable housing. I did attempt to do group housing. I know this is a hot topic, but because of the actual location of both properties, I have to convert them back into the long-term rental. But in the future, I probably will have to pick up the right property to use for that particular purpose.
So your focus on other investments currently is just real estate, or do you also have anything else?
We do have a 401k traditional IRA, very small portion. I did painfully the Roth conversion. So we have the brokerage account and we have some retirement funds as well.
And are those things that you're managing yourself, or are you having somebody else
Yes.
manage them, or are they kind of set it and forget it? You're just putting them in a low-cost ETF.
Well, it's mixed. I have several self-directed IRA accounts. I have several self-directed FSA and HSA account. And a lot of people don't know about that. You can actually self-direct them and purchase alternative investments such as real estate. You can also do gold, silver, have precious metal. But there's few things you cannot do within those self-direct IRAs. But I do self-manage all of them.
Excellent. All right, thanks. And Carlo, why don't you tell us about some of your things that you've got going on?
So I've also done some real estate. Probably not as heavily as Jing has done. I no longer have any rental real estate. I sold those properties over the past couple of years. Got a few pieces of land that I may or may not develop. I'm also invested in the stock market. I have a brokerage account or various brokerage accounts, various retirement accounts, 401k, Roth accounts, and I do a lot of dividend investing for my brokerage side. We'll probably get more into this in the future, but I'm sort of a believer in the having qualified dividend portfolio in that taxable account. So that's where I do a lot of that. I also sometimes, if I am feeling like I want to do some active trading, I do some options trading in those brokerage accounts. And also I do some options trading in Roth accounts as well, so as to, take advantage of those tax advantage accounts. At one point in my life, my company was sold and I had a bit of a windfall, and I ended up purchasing a boat. So I also run a yacht charter business that operates. It was previously operating in the Bahamas, and it is now going to be moving to the BVI. I'll get more into some of the aspects of that, but it has been struck by lightning twice, so that's a longer story than I will go into on this portion of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll definitely be diving into more of the individual things in future episodes. So definitely stick around and look for those. Thanks for sharing, you two. So my focus has been over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, building my infinite bank among all of my different life insurance policies. So that's been the main focus of where I've been storing my wealth. But we do own a restaurant. We own a restaurant in Washington. We have a commercial building there that we also own that building. We own the restaurant on the bottom floor, and we have some rental units up above. One of those rental units is a short-term rental, so we have some short-term rental experience going on. And the other three are long-term rentals. So we've got four units there. That is the extent of my real estate currently, my real estate portfolio. But we are looking to expand that. I have money inside of 401ks. We also own an annuity and we've got Roth IRAs. I don't think I have a traditional IRA. I think I've basically just been focused on a Roth IRA. So we have money in a self-directed solo 401k and Roth IRAs as far as brokerage funds. And I like to do some trading. I love playing around with options as well. And I do that inside of my Roth accounts exclusively. I used to do it outside of it. I used to have an after-tax brokerage account. Actually, I still do. I just don't trade in there because I got tired of the book of trades that you got to deal with at tax time. So I got away from that. Now, we are planning on addressing at the beginning of each podcast episode, we're going to update if there's anything significant happening inside of our own portfolios and investments, if we have any significant gains or losses, or maybe we hopped into something else. So that will be part of our regular podcast updates. Anything else either of you two think you might add in that regard?
I do have a portfolio of cryptocurrency.
Both of you have crypto? Okay, tell us a little bit about that. I don't currently own any crypto.
My philosophy is about there's a finite number of crypto. And then I do like the blockchain technology, although I'm not really in depth understanding the whole thing, but I think it, the decentralization and all the technology will be there. That's self-directed Roth IRA. And I do not plan to touch it for many, many years. So my philosophy is just another bucket of investment potential will give me pretty high amount of return.
Excellent. And Carlo?
I was mining Ethereum for a few years. As a technologist, I bought into some of the craze around the GPUs and buying lots of them. And so I have a crypto miner. It's not running anymore because Ethereum stopped being proof of work. So I am no longer mining that. So Ethereum is probably my largest crypto holding, and I have various other currencies, some Bitcoin and other things, but I do keep it. I mean, I don't know exact numbers, but crypto is probably single-digit percentage of my overall asset portfolio. I think it's a good thing to have, but I don't want to allocate too much to it.
Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing. I did get into crypto a bit a few years ago when I was doing some trading, and it was fun to trade it, but you got to know yourself personally. And crypto, being able to trade 24 hours, I basically couldn't sleep. And so I stopped doing anything crypto just for peace of mind. It allowed me to not have to worry about it because I'm always trying to pay attention to the stock market. At least the stock market closes for some parts of the day, and so I can avoid thinking about it for certain periods of the day and get some sleep.
Crypto trading can be too volatile, and the stress level can be super high. To me, that's
Absolutely.
just a long-term investment strategy for me. I don't do any trading at all.
Yeah, and like I said, it does help to know you. It helps to know you and your investment style. And it sounds like with what you're doing with it fits you very well. You're just buy and hold. And that's often
Yes.
the best strategy. I have a hard time with buy and hold. I appreciate you guys sharing a little bit about yourself and your investments. And we're helping the viewer understand where we're coming from when we talk about things. I want to give a second. If you have anything that you want the audience to remember from today's episode, maybe something to keep in mind in the future, things that we might touch on, anything you want to share.
I'll go first. I think there's two things very important. One is keep learning, never stop learning. Look at the how AI can change the world. The second, really pay attention to your after-tax rate of return. Don't chase money and just look at the rate of return. Think about which tax bucket the investment dollar you get and how much tax you have to pay back to Uncle Sam.
Yeah, and I would completely agree that learning is probably one of the best tools you have for securing your financial future. Whether that's learning about the life insurance space or whatever it is, finding ways to increase your income is extremely powerful. I mean, that's what I focused in on from my transition from enlisted Army infantry to working in technology to working my way up through various consulting positions. And working with big data, all of these things, always keeping an eye out for that next thing that I want to learn to transition my technology into a more lucrative skill set, or transitioning into various other things and entrepreneurship. So learning, I think, is the core of financial foundations. If you can learn to learn and build on your knowledge to grow yourself, then you can help enable yourself to build tools to grow your wealth for the future.
Excellent points from both of you. I don't think it's coincidental either that you both brought up learning. And for me, learning has been a passion. I'm always trying to learn new things. And I think that's ultimately what brought us together, our journey on trying to learn more about finances so that we can get better with our own personal finances has brought us together. And likely what brought the listener to this podcast is they're going to be here to hopefully learn from our experience and help them get better. So I appreciate you guys joining us for the launch of this podcast. We hope to provide a lot of information in the coming weeks and months and years as we progress in this podcast. And hopefully, we'll continue to get better as podcast personalities in getting this information out to you in a way that's educational and entertaining. Your call to action this week is going to be to hit that subscribe button so you can follow along. We're going to have a weekly release of this podcast, bringing you insights and strategies surrounding the cash value life insurance space and other investments. Again, my name is James Barber. You can find me on YouTube at Oregon Cash Flow Pro and OregonCashflowPro.com. I'm licensed across the country for life insurance and annuities.
And this is Jane from Tax Exempt Millionaire Club. I have the host in this school community. You can find me there. I'm posting daily different insight, different thoughts. Really want to give people the chance to accumulate financial freedom knowledge little by little. I'm also licensed in multiple states for life insurance.
Excellent. You can find her at school.com/tax-exempt-millionaire-club. And Carlo?
So you can check out netwealthfinance.com. That is our primary website for our life insurance business. My wife is the life insurance agent in our business, and we'll work with folks across the country. You can also find on Threads, NetWealthFinance is what I will post using that. And our YouTube channel is Sapnin, or what, like what's happening, but you can see it right there. So at SHAPNIN, that is the YouTube channel. I've focused on a lot of different things on that channel, but primarily the posts are around these life insurance and various financial strategies. So you can follow us there as well.
All right. I appreciate you guys joining us for this. We will see you again next week.
Thank you. See you next week.
Thank you.